Hi, this is Casey Treat. I'm pastor at Christian Faith, and we are excited to have you with us on our podcast. Thanks for joining in. I'm praying that you're going to hear a word that will inspire you, empower you to connect with Jesus and become more like him. That's what we live for. That's what's happening on today's podcast. Okay, let's talk about the power of purpose. Our motivations make a big difference and oftentimes define the success or failure of our lives. Why do you do what you do? You know, maybe it's not about what you do. It's about why you do it. Do you go to work to pay the bills? You go to work to make a living, right? People use that phrase a lot. I'm just trying to make a living. What if you shifted it and you worked because you have a purpose to influence people, to prosper so that you can be generous, so that you can have godly impact? What if your purpose in working has to do with family life and church life, not just I'm trying to make a living? I was thinking the other day, I was sitting in a meeting and a person was late, and they're always late. And I thought, you know, this is just something on their calendar. They feel no purpose in this meeting. I think you treat things differently when you value them as part of your purpose rather than something on your calendar. Why do you do what you do? Do you care about God's will? Or are you motivated by personal desires and satisfaction? Right? If your purpose is to fulfill God's will, to live a godly life, to express honor and glory toward God, wouldn't that change how you're motivated, why you're motivated, and the energy that you have for life? Because if it's just, well, I'm trying to make a living, trying to pay the bills, boy, no wonder you're depressed. No wonder you're sad and heavy, and you know, you got to keep yourself up. You need some tranquilizers. You need some Ozempic. Got to get me some Big O. Let me get the Big O going because I need the energy. It's a sad condition of so many in life because I really believe their purpose is off. They don't think about purpose. They've never considered their purpose. And what purpose they do have is self-centered. It's what I feel. It's what I want. It's me and mine. They join the Me Too movement. Me is a self-centered life. And if your life is not God-centered, yeah, life gets rough. Everything gets hard and heavy. That's why we hear a lot about anxieties and depressions and worries and fears and all the traumas, because our purpose is off. Look in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. Ephesians 2 and 10. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You believe the Bible, right? You think the Bible is a good message, a true message? Well, the message of the Bible is that God created you for a purpose. You are his workmanship, and you were designed for good works. He made your mind. He made your physical body. He made your talent. He made your abilities in a certain way to do good works, which he prepared ahead of time that you should walk in them. So if you believe that, then you're not stressed out about things happening on the job and traffic and the flights, and no big deal, because I'm just here doing what God created me to do. This is what I was designed to do, and I'm doing works that God has called me to do, and so I don't have to worry about it. I'm not anxious. I'm not nervous. You know, I'll go on an airplane this week, and so I have my ticket, and I got my seat, and I got the gate number, and I got the boarding pass on my phone, so I'm good. No sweat. I know what time everything is boarding and leaving, and so I show up at the airport. I'm chill. I'm relaxed. I'm going through TSA. I'm waving at the guy. Hey, how's it going? Guys are talking. Hey, Pastor, I was at church this Sunday. Good to see you. What's up? But I see a lot of people. That's not how they're going through TSA. They're freaking out. They forgot something, right? They're anxious, nervous. And sometimes you see them running to the gate, right? Because they're a little behind schedule. Time is tight. And then they get on the airplane and they want to trade you seats. And I said, so you want to trade seats because you didn't prepare. People's lives out of control. People's lives disheveled, anxious and nervous. But I'm relaxed and I already ordered my food on the flight. I'm getting the cheese and crackers because ain't nobody going to eat that fried tofu crap. I mean, what the heck? So then the flight attendant, would you trade your meal with their meal? Because they don't want their meal. Yeah, okay, give it to them because obviously they need help. Right, but this is the difference. Some people live a life organized, confident, planned, prepared. And some people live a life nervous, anxious, stressed out, right? The guy flipping you off on the freeway, right? You don't know why, because you're just driving to work. And he's honking, he's flipping you off. You're like, okay, well, peace, bro. He doesn't think I'm living a life of purpose. That God predestined my steps, that God has ordered my life, and I'm just walking this good life which he prepared for me. That's not how he's thinking. He's thinking, I can't believe this traffic. I can't take it anymore. I don't like this job anyway. I hate sitting on this for. He's just anxious about everything. And so we hear people talking about their anxieties, right? They're online and they're sharing their anxieties. And what are they saying? My life is not ordered of the Lord. My life is anxious. My life is turmoil. My life is stress. So now we're going to start a new year. Don't just have another year. Let's have a new year. So I'm not asking you to change what you're doing. I'm asking you to change why you're doing it. I'm doing what I'm doing to honor God. I believe I am his workmanship. God created me, God designed me, and God placed me in this time, in this place, and at this moment, in this job or whatever it is. And so I'm just going to do my best to honor God, to glorify God, right? And when you have that kind of an attitude, you're better, you're stronger, you're more competent, you're more confident, you handle stuff because there's a purpose. When you're I'm just trying to make a living. I don't even want this job. If I won the lottery today, I'd be quitting, you know, before the end of the day, I'd be out of here. Yeah, well, your life sucks. Because you suck. And you suck because you have no purpose. You have no purpose. You're living for yourself. You're trying to make a living. I already have a living. God gave me life. God gave me abundant life. And God directs my steps to live this good life. Now, notice he says here in Ephesians 2:10, for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. Good work. He didn't say easy works. He said good works. In the Amplified Bible, Ephesians 2:10, we are God's own handiwork, His workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew that we may do those good works which God planned beforehand, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time, right? It's like you have your ticket, you have your seat, you have your gate, you have your meal. He prepared ahead of time for you that we should walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. Okay, so this spans thousands of years, centuries of humanity, nations and eras and generations, but God's promise to you is if you will walk with him, he has prepared a good life for you. And how many people care about God's will, care about God's plan, desire to live with God's purpose? When he said to live the good life, most of us heard the easy life. It's what we heard subconsciously. We think easy is good. Are you with me? And you want easy. I guess we all do. We want easy. Want it to go quick, want it to go easy. I don't want it to be hard. So when I was in high school, I didn't take any hard classes. No chemistry. No trigonometry. No AP classes. I learned this morning what AP stands for. Because when you're a pothead in high school, you're not thinking about AP, advanced placement. I had four periods of band. I'm here to graduate. I'm not here to learn anything. And okay, I'm in a public school, right? So a lot of teachers are great, but my band director was an alcoholic, so I could just, you know, get drunk and go to band. Welcome to public school. And that was my attitude. I'm just trying to get through. I don't want anything hard because I think good means easy. Right? And that's what a lot of people want. McDonald's is easy. You just drive by, they throw food in your window. Easy. But cooking vegetables and organic stuff and real meat, it's not easy, but it's good. Right? Staying married, faithful to one woman, not easy. But it's good, because paying alimony, having first wife, second wife, third wife, first mama, second mama, third mama, baby mama, baby mama, not good, right? Do you want easy or do you want good? You can't have both all the time. Sometimes you gotta pick, but God didn't say, I have an easy life plan for you. He said, I have a good life plan for you. So do you want God's purpose? Do you want the power of God's purpose in your life? Or you just want the easy way? Avoid the hard jobs. Avoid the overtime. Avoid the stretch. Just take the easy. So this is the kind of decisions that we need to make if we want the power of purpose. You know, oftentimes I think about church life and all that we've done over the past 46 years, and it wasn't easy. You know, people problems and life problems and financial problems and staffing problems, and then you get staff infection, and it's a lot of staff going on. Yeah, but it's good because of those 11,000 that were born again this year. Because of the hundreds that were baptized, right? Because of the 800 and some volunteers that we have in our church family, right? To the dream team. So if you want easy, you probably can't have purpose. Part of our purpose now as older people in this season of our life is we're grandparents. So we have grandchildren sometimes, and we're riding bicycles, and we're going to the snow, and we drove over to Leavenworth because we want to go. I don't even know why we want to go there, but okay, let's go. It's what grandparents do, and we got everything, and boy, it's going as we got paint, and we got crafts, and. Man, the house is so neat when it's just Wendy and me. It's just so neat. And then you get all four grandkids, then they have their little disagreements, and we got trauma and drama. I don't want easy. It's easy to be alone and 7 hours of TV. It's easy to go nowhere and do nothing. But if you want good, it might be a challenge, might be difficult, but good is good, and it's fulfilling and rewarding, and you have purpose because you believe you're serving God and honoring God and glorifying God in your life. You are His workmanship created for good works. So many people opt out of the good things because they only want the easy thing. Right? So I'm in to go for what is good. And remember this, we're taking paths that He prepared ahead of time. So that doesn't mean easy, that there's gonna be some challenges, there's gonna be some difficulty. But if I am walking with God, right? Psalm 37, verse 23, my steps are ordered of the Lord. Okay, I'm doing my best to follow God and honor God. All right, if something happens, I get fired, there's a crisis, political change, financial change. Okay, not gonna sweat it. I'm serving God. I'm His workmanship. He's my Father. I'm His son. I'm His daughter. I'm taken care of. Oh, but they said this and they said, yeah, I really don't care what they said. I don't live for their purpose. I live for God's purpose. And He empowers my life. And I'm able to have a confident, a peace about life because I'm not moved by all this other noise that's going on around me. Right? I'm taking paths which He prepared ahead of time. You know, we nobody had COVID and a year of world shutdown on their vision plan, but it happened and God wasn't shocked. So, okay, we got this. No worries. Our church kept on going. Our church kept on doing services, kept on prospering, kept on doing what we do. Why? Because we're living for God's purpose. We don't care what the governor says. We don't care what this guy said and that guy said. Oh, they said we're all going to die. Yeah, but I already read in the Bible, with His stripes I was healed. I'm shocked at how many people said they believed the Bible till COVID came. If an economic announcement changes what you believe about your prosperity, what do you believe in? Because the Bible said God will give you power to get wealth. He didn't say as long as the Fed lowers the interest rate. The Bible said God heals you, that He covers you, and in the name of Jesus, you'll overcome sickness and disease. Unless it's COVID, of course. And then if it's COVID, you're going to die. You see, we say we believe things, but in real world, do we? Do we? And maybe this is because we're not living with a godly purpose. Our purpose is to fulfill our own desire, not His desire. So we need to adopt that attitude that Jesus had. Not my will, Father, but Your will. And God will give you the desires of your heart. Because you live for the desires of His heart. And there's where you find your strength. That's where you find your power. The power of purpose is in him, not in doing what I feel like doing, but in doing what I believe he has called me to do. Can I get an amen right there? Right? So when we align with God's plan, we find our greatest success and fulfillment. The born-again person seeks to walk the path that God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So this is our commitment. Doesn't mean we always do it right. And you know, God isn't nervous when you and I get off track a little bit. Right? Maybe one day you're on your Tinder app. Is this still a thing? Do we still do Tinder? I've never seen it, so I don't know. Somebody needs to educate me. Is Tinder a thing? Come on, single people. All the single people. All the single people. All the single people. All the single people. Okay, well, whatever app you use. Okay. So you're on your, huh? The Bible app is where I get my date. Amen. I binge the Bible. Okay, but anyway, let's say I'm on Tinder and I swipe right. Which way do I swipe? I swipe right. If I swipe right, that means we're in, right? I swipe right. Why am I talking about this? What was my point? If that's how we live our lives, we're just on apps and we're just, it's whatever we feel. I just do what I want to do. No one tells me. No one tells me what to do. I do what I want to do. I'm my own, I am woman, hear me roar. This is why we end up with anxiety. Because you go through a few bad relationships. You swiped the wrong way. Right? You should have listened to Dora the Explorer. Are you with me, parents? Because what does Dora the Explorer say? No swiping. No, you know. No swiping. Dora already told you this. You don't even have to be about 5 years old. You could have figured this out. But you're swiping because you keep trying to find something. You think it's in a new relationship. It's a new guy. Oh, look at this guy. He's so cute. You think that's what he looks like? There are 27 filters on that picture. And by the way, you don't look like you look in that app. You show up, you're like, uh-oh. Stop getting me off track. But when you live just trying to get something, right? Trying to get the girlfriend, the boyfriend, trying to have another party, trying to get high, trying to get drunk, trying to find something. It just never works. Here's what Proverbs says. The desires of the humanity, the desires of man are never fulfilled. But when you look toward God and you say, all right, God, my purpose is in you, your will. I'm transformed by the renewing of my mind to prove your will. Not my thing, your thing. It's not about me. I'm not in the Me Too movement. I'm in the you movement. In your will, in your plans, in your purposes. Now, here's the problem. I really thought if I totally committed to God, I'm going to be living a miserable life. You're going to be like a monk. You have a lousy haircut and a lousy outfit. You look like a fool and dress like a fool. But you love the Lord, so okay. I really thought that I would lose all the fun and all the excitement and all the joy if I totally committed to God. But no, that's not true. I found more than I ever would have had on my own. More life, more excitement, more adventure, more experience than I ever would have had if I did my thing. Give up your thing. His thing is better. And it may not be what you're doing. It may just be why you're doing it. The power of purpose. Okay, so you were created by God for God. And if you believe that, then you become concerned with, is this his will? Is this God's plan? Now, don't get hung up where you're kind of paralyzed because you're not sure if it's God's will. If God doesn't speak to me, if God doesn't direct me, I'm going to do what I feel is best, right? I'm not worried because, for instance, with my son and my daughter and my other son, there's a lot of things I don't know what they're doing. They make their own decisions. And I think, that's cool. That's great. If they ask me or if there's something that I can help with, then we can work together. Okay, here's my plan. Here's how I would do it. Okay, I'm in. I'll support that or help you or whatever it is. But most of the time, they're doing good things. I'm happy. That's the way your father is. You don't need to ask him what car to drive. He's not driving that car. You are. It's like, yeah, get whatever car you want. He likes fiery chariots. He's not into cars. Should I get a gas car or an electric car? See, you're following too much thought from the world. Both come out of the earth, right? The battery, the minerals, all the chemicals to make the battery come out of the earth, steel out of the earth, the gas out of the earth. Which one you want? Pick one. Pick two. Pick both. Not a thing. God doesn't care. Some of you are tripping on stuff that's not a thing. But now, who you date, you better pray. Yeah, you better pray. What company you start or company you commit to, major life decisions, right? Okay, God, you direct my steps. I trust that you're leading and guiding me. The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. I'm not afraid to make a mistake because God will get me back on track if I make a mistake. And I probably will make a mistake. I'll probably do some things. I tried to buy a piece of property one time. Thank God that deal did not go through. Thank God somebody else offered more money and somebody else. I look back now, I'm like, thank you, Lord. You delivered me out of the snare of the lion. I mean, it was a tragic thing, but I made a mistake. God directed me and God helped me. So you, when your heart is toward God, your steps are ordered of the Lord. And every time somebody says, pray for me, I'm making a job decision, I'm making a family decision, I always say, all right, let's pray. Your steps are ordered of the Lord. Psalm 37 and verse 23. Okay, so always remember that psalm. So in God's will, we find peace, right? So if you're in turmoil, anxiety, stress, worry, something's off. Either it's your thinking or it's where you are. I don't know, but when you're in God's will, then you relax. I'm in God's will. I'm on the airplane not long ago, and a lady got on. She said, oh, thank God you're on this flight, Pastor Treat. I feel so much better knowing you're here. What does that mean? Like if I wasn't here, this plane might crash? But since I am here, we're all good? Okay, I'll go with that. Right? But sometimes we're not confident, and we don't have that peace that passes understanding. The Bible says when you pray, you can have peace that passes. It goes beyond. It makes no sense. How come you're so relaxed? Yeah, God's got me. God's in charge. But you lost money on that. Yeah, he'll bring it back to me. I don't sweat that stuff. Right? Yeah, but the doctor said, and he said that before. God is my healer. I just have peace. I texted a doctor recently. I've known him for years, and his Christmas was coming, and he's a Christian doctor, and I texted him and said, hey, bro, praying you have a great Christmas, and thank you for your hard work and all that you do for people. And he texted me back. He said, you're the most peaceful patient I've ever had. I'm a peaceful patient. You can tell me, you got cancer. I'd be like, oh, okay, well, I'm going to get rid of that. And he told me before, I have cancer. You can tell me, oh, you got pneumonia. I said, well, that's not sticking around. I'm just a peaceful patient, right? Because you're in God's will. You're living for God's purpose. So you just have that peace. And you don't get angry and stressed and anxious and all the words that they like to talk about on Facebook. That's not us. Number two, in God's will, we find confidence. We're confident that this will happen. We're confident we're going to get through. We're confident in how we live our lives. We're not worried. Number three, we are productive, fruitful. The tree is known by its fruit. When you're in God's will, you're doing what he created you to do. Man, I never knew God wanted me to be a pastor. First 20 years of my life, the last thing on my list would have been be a pastor. But come to find out, I was created for this. So, man, this is amazing. I am more productive than I ever dreamed I could be. And the same thing's true for you. Number four, success. Things work. You find success. You find prosperity. You find victory in life. Right? The Bible says we live from glory to glory. We just go from victory to victory. We just keep racking up wins. Some days we'll have a loss. We'll have a down day. But we come back strong because we are living in God's purpose. We are his workmanship, doing what he created us to do. And the last point, number five, we find abundant life. Jesus said he came, that was his purpose, to give you abundant life. That you would live and have life more abundantly. Not barely get by, not barely enough, not you're going to make it. Well, he won't give you what you want, but he might give you what you need. Oh, shut up. Get rid of your redneck Christianity and read your Bible. Read your Bible that he came that you have life and have it more abundantly. So this is what we find in God's will. And if you're a Christian, but you don't believe you're in God's will, you don't have those five things: peace, confidence, productivity, success, and abundant life. You are struggling because you're not sure. You don't know where God wants you. And I'm encouraging you today. It may not be you should change what you do. It may be you should change why you do it. Okay, 1 John chapter 3. Look there with me. 1 John chapter 3. We call ourselves Christians, which means we are like Christ. Right? We seek to be like Christ. We've dedicated our lives to be like Christ. Well, let's look at what it says here in 1 John chapter 3 and see if you relate to this. 1 John 3 verse 8, he who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. Now, the language here says he who lives in sin. We all sin. We have selfish moments. We have angry moments. We have fearful moments. That's sin. But we don't live there. We make mistakes and we come back and we ask for forgiveness and we move on. But if you live in sin, you're of the devil. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. I just want you to see that. For this purpose, he did not come just to see what would happen. He came for a purpose. And you want to be like Jesus? You come for a purpose. When you're in a relationship, there's a purpose. If you're a single adult, I wouldn't be dating people for fun. I wouldn't just be hanging around people for fun. You get your heart broken too much. You get into sketchy situations. Too many people dropping stuff in your drink. Stop hanging around people for fun. If you're a single adult, don't raise your hand, but I'm talking to you. All the single people, all the single people, you go into every relationship with a purpose. This relationship is maybe a friendship. It may be a godly relationship. It may be a professional relationship. It may be a future spouse. But I'm not just here killing time. This is why you get hurt, because you have no purpose. Why are you hanging with them? Well, I don't know. We went to school together. Yeah, not a good reason. What's my cousin, you know? Another not good reason. What's the purpose of this relationship? If you can't define purpose in everything you do, you're open to the enemy to burn you. Right? And a lot of people get hurt. Christian people get hurt because they're not living on purpose. I've gone to different places that, you know, people invite you to different organizations. We want you in this club and that club and this organization. Okay, well, I'll try to be nice. I'll sit in one meeting. Nope, I'm out. Not part of my purpose. Doesn't align with my purpose. Right? And for this purpose, the Son of God came. So you're trying to be like Jesus? Then every relationship, everything you do is for this purpose. To honor God, to fulfill the will of God, to have the family God planned for me, to have the company God planned, to have the job God planned, whatever it is. But if there's no purpose, I'm out. Thank you for your exciting response. I have totally freaked some of you out. Four steps to finding purpose. Four steps to finding purpose. Number one, commit yourself to God's will in all things. Lord, to the best of my ability, I'm following your will and your plan in everything that I do. How I raise my children, how I speak to my spouse, how I work on the job. I do all things as unto the Lord. If you are lazy at work and only do what's required because they're not paying you enough anyway, and you didn't come in here to let somebody take advantage of your amazing self, so you're just going to do barely enough, they should fire you now because you're part of the problem. You work as unto the Lord. You serve God. And if they don't take good care of you, God will move you because God cares about his kids. And God said, didn't I pay my kids enough? I'm gonna move them over here to get them a better position, get them in a better place. If you live with purpose, you'll keep getting promotions. Do you know the book of Proverbs says promotions come from the Lord? If you're a lousy worker where you are, why should God give you anything better? I got no amens on that. Right? So we commit to God's will to the best of my ability. I might make a mistake, but I'm going to do my best to follow your will. I'm transformed by the renewing of my mind to prove the perfect will of God. I'm going to talk to my children as if it's God's will how I talk to them. How I raise them and my spouse and everything that I do, right? Let all things be done as unto the Lord. Number two, I'm gonna pray about all life decisions. Not little things, get your car, whatever, get your couch, what kind of lazy boy you want. No, you don't have to pray about that. But life decisions, major issues in your life, I'm gonna pray, I'm gonna ask God, is this your plan? Is this your will? Is this your purpose for me? I'm gonna pray about it. Every decision. Not just gonna go off and do what I feel. I just feel like doing it. Was it God's will? There's nothing to do. Don't bring God into this. Right? That's where you get in trouble. You get hurt and you get into bad circumstances. So we're gonna pray. Father, I'm seeking your will. And you may not hear a voice from heaven, I never have, but usually you sense in your heart what is God's will. Sometimes you're not sure, so you do the best you can. Don't get paralyzed. Don't get stuck. Oh, I'm not sure if it's God's will. It's God's will that you not freak out. But you do your best and you pray. And do you have your Binge the Bible book yet? Tasha did Binge the Bible. And you can get it on Amazon. There may be a few copies left in the foyer. Go to chapter 4, part 4. And there's different prayers, like the Lord's Prayer. And then how you pray that for personal application. Or the prayer of Jabez. How that could be part of your corporate or career prayer. Or the prayer that follows the items in the tabernacle. And how that could lead you to God's will for your life. Right? So she'll give you 4 different prayers and Bible reading plan. I'm not sure if it's the same one as on the app. Yeah, same one as it's on the app. You can get it in the Binge the Bible book. See, so what am I saying to you? If you get serious about living life on purpose, you have so many tools. There are so many ways to sort out God's will. But some of you are frustrated. I don't even know what God's will. You've never really applied yourself to it. Right? You didn't give as much time to finding God's will as you did getting a driver's license. Still nothing. Love this third service. Right? So anyway, Binge the Bible, that's a tool that will help you if you are seeking God's will. Look in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. Here's the Amplified Bible, Colossians 3:15. Let the peace of God, soul harmony, which comes from Christ, rule as the umpire of your heart. Okay, so the umpire says, ball, strike, you out, or safe. What's the umpire of your heart? Let the peace of God rule in your heart. Be the umpire of your heart. Sometimes you don't even know why. You have no peace. You meet somebody, no peace. You're out. So he said, how come you left so quick? Something was off. No peace. Not that I'm nervous. I'm not scared. I'm not worried. I just have no peace. I'm out. Peace of God is the umpire of my heart. When I met Wendy, perfect peace. That's funny right there. Right? When I met Wendy, yeah, okay, all right, this is it. I mean, we dated for a couple of years, but I knew within a few weeks we were getting married. The peace of God is the umpire of your heart. It says safe, or it says you're out of here. Do you have peace in the various circumstances of your life? Okay, so we're finding purpose. Commit to God's will. Pray about all life decisions. Listen to the Holy Spirit in your heart. Right? It's not out there. Stop following signs. Well, I looked in the sky and a cloud looked like the horse, and I think the Lord was telling me I need to buy a horse. Bruh, stop. That's like following tarot cards. I went to a soothsayer, a medium, a palm reader. I got my Ouija board, and then I got out my eight ball so I could find God's will. No wonder you're so demon-possessed. You got Ouija demons, tarot demons, palm reader demons. You got all the demons up in here. Stop following signs. We don't follow signs. The Bible said signs follow you. Amen. Signs and wonders follow them that believe. Them that believe don't follow signs. We follow the Holy Spirit that's in our heart. Our steps are ordered of the Lord. And number four, do the difficult things to obey the Word and the Spirit. So some things are hard. Like you said yes to a meeting, and then you felt like, I don't want to go. But the Bible said in Psalm 15, swear to your own hurt. So you do the difficult thing. You say, Father, I don't think it's for me, but I told him I would be there, so I'm going to be there. And I'll leave as soon as I can. But I swear to my own hurt. So you said, yes, you would help in the children's church, but then you didn't show up. And then you ask God, God, I need to know your will. And the Lord said, my will was that you swear to your own hurt. So you can't compromise the word and then say you're concerned with God's will. It's like tithing. The Bible says to bring 10% of your income. Well, I ain't gonna do that. I just want God's will. What? No, you don't. Because God's will for your finance is so you invest in his kingdom and then you start getting the overflow. But you won't do the things that you, whatever you don't like or you think is too hard or whatever, but then you say, I want God. It's like the person who says, I need the Lord to direct me. Why should he direct you? You haven't done the last three things he told you to do. Still silence in this third service. I'm just going to stretch it out a little bit. Right? Why should God tell you what to do? You won't do what his word says. Right? We pray, we give, we swear to our own hurt, we forgive, we stay in peace. You don't do any of those things. And yet you say you want God's will for your life. No, you don't. You're tripping. Right? When you get serious about wanting God's will, then you do the hard things. You sacrifice. You follow through. You swear to your own. Yeah, the other day I told the kids I was going to do something, and then I thought, why did I say that? But you know, I never want my grandchildren to think I'm a liar. I swore to my own hurt, so I'm doing it. And it's a sacrifice unto the Lord. Yeah, but okay. Here we go. Let's go. Right, you swear to your own hurt. Psalm 15. The Lord will honor those who swear to their own hurt. Right, so these are the things that cause us to get into God's will and live with purpose. And when you're in that realm, in that zone, living on purpose and in purpose, there is such strength, there's such passion, and even when things go hard and things go bad, you're just confident that God gets you through. God, you know, Wendy and I've had difficult times, and church has changes and challenges, but we know God is God. We're never like, we're going to die, we're going to fail, it's going, we're all going under. Never been there, never had that day. Had some challenges, but I'm living on purpose. And so I know that God is going to show me through to the other side, and we're going to win. In the world, we have tribulation, but be of good cheer. He overcame the world. So that's us. That's our story.
Thank you so much for joining with us today. I'm praying that you heard something that will impact your life. If you'd like more information, connect with us at the Christian Faith Church app or go to the website at christianfaith.us.